Blog Talk Radio.
Sing it down low for him. Sing it down low for him.
Woman to Woman, and of course, if there's any men in the audience, thank you as well. I am one of your hosts, Minister LaDon, and of course, we have our co-host, which is the beautiful, wonderful
Coach B in the house.
Yes. It's Minister LaDon and Coach B coming to you guys once again. We want to thank you all for joining us and tuning in tonight, of course, but really joining us for this powerful series that we've had this month as it relates to domestic violence, domestic abuse, and, you know, just all of the different challenges and trials that go with it. We, of course, keep bringing speakers to you each and every week, and we have such a powerful, dynamic speaker that will be joining us tonight that we're super, super thrilled to have with us in the studio. And we're going to give her a moment, in just a few moments, we're going to give her the opportunity to introduce herself. But before we do that, I wanted, Coach D, if you could just lay a little bit of the foundation of how you met Miss Kim, and then we'll give her an opportunity to speak. And the reason why I'm doing this is because it's just so great how God works things out, and we never know the connections that are coming forward. And you've actually had her on one of MTD Network's other shows, and now at this time she's going to be blessing our show, Woman to Woman. So I'm just super thrilled, and I want the audience just to hear a little bit about how God made that powerful connection.
Wow. Okay. Thank you, Minister LaDon. You know, it's so funny. I actually met Kimberly through, at the time, I'm so used to still calling her Kim Possible because that was her kind of like her nickname. But I met her through Esther Jones, and Esther Jones is a beautiful woman of God that actually was also a guest on Processing the Pain a couple of years ago. And she was telling her testimony. She wrote a book. She used to travel with, gosh, it was one of the really known rappers, and I can't think of his name right now. I can see his face. And she
I
just
think it was
really
Nelly.
That's who it was, Nelly. And she worked with him, and she worked with, you know, she was in that environment, and she really came out of the environment and began to tell her story, her testimony of what took place in that environment. And she actually said, you know, Coach D, I got somebody I want you to meet. Oh, my gosh, you'll be amazing for your show. And me and Kimberly got a chance to talk. And I didn't realize that it has been this so long. It's been 2 years. Because when I met her, mm-hmm. she was pregnant with her youngest son, who is now 16 months. So,
wow.
And then she was working on her book. She was working on her second book. And so now that second book, I believe, is out. So we're going to learn a lot about that on tonight. But what I want to do is just kind of give a little bio, because Kimberly is a two-time published author. Her two books are titled Perfectly Imperfect. Ooh, what a great title. And An Encounter with Grace. Kimberly seeks to inspire and inspire others through real-life experiences that she has overcome. Kimberly is currently in the process of starting a sexual assault survivor group for women. Now, single mom, and I'm not, you know what? Oh, I could just go on, but I'm not, because I want her to, I gave you a basis, and I just want her to kind of share the rest of who she is. Who is Kimberly? I know some amazing things about this woman. She is an overcomer, and she's a survivor. And you'll hear more about that. So without further ado, I want to introduce to some and present to others. Kimberly, are you in the studio on tonight?
Yes, I am. Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you for being here. We are so excited. I'm ready for just the Holy Spirit to use you, because one of the things I like about your testimonies, I love when people of God are so transparent about their journey, because for some reason we've been convinced, as you know, throughout our whole life as children, even adults, we've been convinced that saying yes to God and, you know, saying yes to Jesus is saying no to problems, saying no to challenges, saying no to setbacks, saying no to disappointments, and that's so far from the truth. And so I just thank God that you're willing to be transparent about your, you know, the things, your challenges, the things you had to go through. So, again, I'm going to step back, Kimberly, and for the audience, for those who don't know you, who is Kimberly?
Again, Kimberly is just a mother, a published author, a speaker, a friend, a daughter. I don't know, you know, I struggle, especially recently, been struggling with my life and a lot of the things that have happened and just kind of that question that sometimes we have as Christians and just myself as a woman, just like, God, like, I don't get it. I've been serving you for all these years. I think I'm a decent human being. And just why are all of these different things happening? And, of course, I have different moments when I'm stronger and I can get it, but then I kind of relapse back into just that questioning again. And I truly believe that while God may not have authored and he may not have wanted me to go through the different things that I've gone through over the years, that he has certainly allowed them to happen because I believe that God knows which ones of us, and this is not to put anyone down, this is not to say that I'm greater than anyone, but I believe that God specifically knows the different ones that are going to be on the front lines and that are going to be able to champion above their situations and champion beyond those mountains to be able to look back to the other ones who are coming after them to be able to say, hey, I've gotten through this situation and so can you. And so I'm really just, you know, a regular person that goes through things just like any other person, but I really aspire to be able to encourage other people because I've struggled with my mental health. I've struggled with wanting to commit suicide. I've struggled with anxiety. I mean, I've had a lot of different struggles over the years and even just recently with some things that I've been going through. And the one thing that kind of just ground my hope in is that not every day is going to be bad. Just the reality that I have to be thankful for those good days that come in the midst of all the dark days and just realizing that the season is not going to last forever. And even if it feels like things are going to overwhelm me, that it's not going to overcome me to the point where I'm drowning and I'm not able to be saved by God. So I'm just a regular woman that, goes through just like any other woman, but I truly believe that God has allowed me to just be able to overcome in such a way so that I can just be able to help other women that are coming behind me.
Oh, amen. You know, as you were saying that, one of the things that popped into my brain is when we think about social media today and we think of the term, quote, unquote, insta-famous, or, you know, and so you have this celebrity status type posts that we do, and we're only posting everything that is good or what we want people to know and the best pictures or what have you, and we're not showing the real or the truth of what we're going through. And so we're caught, you know, sometimes that can cause people to try and live up to those unrealistic type of, I want to say expectations, but there's another word that my spirit is grasping for. I know it'll come to me, but those unrealistic types of situations or life occurrences. And so I'm thankful that you're on the program tonight because as you begin to share your story in just a few moments, I want everybody to know when we're, especially those of you who are listening and you're in your 30s and your 40s right now and life is not going as you expected it to go. There's times where you're not living up to your own expectations. There's times where you're beating yourself up because you feel like a failure. And you don't know how to pull yourself through. And maybe you've been in a rut for a year, for some months, for 2 years now. And you're just grasping at straws or different things, trying to get yourself past that rut. I believe that God has brought Ms. Kim here this evening to help us understand, like she said, the different mind challenges that we can be going through when we're not living up to what we feel like we're supposed to be or what we're supposed to be doing or what we think society is telling us we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to be doing. I'm going to step back because I could talk forever, but I just wanted to share that. And so, Ms. Kim, I'm going to actually give you the platform for a moment. I'm going to jump in and out with questions, but I just want you to, whatever way that you're feeling led to share this evening, I want you to be able to do that. So I'm going to step back and allow you to step back in. Amen.
Okay, so I had actually reached out to Coach D because I had been on the show 2 times prior, and I had talked about my situation and my circumstances and just the different context of what led me to write my 2 different books. And I found myself recently in a position where I had to come to the realization, and I had to be honest with myself about the fact that while I had allowed myself to be very reactionary to different things that had happened to me and even allowed myself to normalize different behaviors, I had to come to the realization that I had been sexually assaulted. And so for myself, this is something where it was really hard to come to this realization and have to admit and even speak it out loud and to be able to tell people, hey, I've been sexually assaulted, because I look at myself and I want to be that strong woman that everybody thinks that I am and every, you know, that I want to be. I want to be that strong woman that is supposed to be the leader type and supposed to be championing other women and encouraging other women to a place of healing and growth. And so it was really, really hard for me to come to that realization that this person in my life had sexually assaulted me. And it wasn't just any type of a person. It was a person that I had had a child with. And so for myself, it's been really, really difficult just trying to understand the different moving parts when it comes to not only acknowledging the fact that you've been assaulted, but then trying to work through just finding justice, finding peace. I mean, there's been just, you know, verbalizing it within itself and coming to the conclusion of having to report it to the police. And after I told different friends, there were different friends, about 4 of them, probably more than 4, that told me that I needed to absolutely report it to the police. And at that time, there was so much fear because this particular person is very well known in the Pittsburgh area. I looked at something that a friend had shared on Facebook, and he was another one of the recipients that was winning an award. And so this is a business owner that wins a lot of different awards. He's very charismatic. He's very loving. He's very outgoing. He's a people person. So that fear of, and I had my laundry list as to why I shouldn't report the crime, because he was the father of my son, and what am I going to do about child support? How am I going to get that support that I need? How is anybody ever going to believe me? And so I just kept on going through all of those different things in my mind of why I shouldn't report it. And for me, it got to the point, and what made me report the crime that happened to me was because I will never forget, and it was actually a year ago, last October, when he had already been in a relationship with someone in spite of the fact that he was forcing himself on me. And so when I confronted him about that, his words were, "So what? Do whatever you need to do to get over it and move on." And so when I remembered him saying that to me, it was the realization that this is a person that hasn't really cared about me or my feelings over the years, and that I had to make the decision that either I was going to continue to favor him and to care about his feelings, or I was going to stand up and advocate for myself. And so even in that advocacy for myself, it has been nothing short of the grace of God that I've been able to function still as a mother. As an employee, I'm in the process of trying to start a nonprofit organization. I'm still a published author. I'm a youth leader in my church. I mean, there's so many different things that as a result of what this person had did, that it's been really, really hard for me to manage these different things. And the hardest part of it all that I found for myself was I can remember our situation in the beginning when he started forcing himself on me. And I would get really emotional about it, and I would cry. But then I over time began. So this has been a 2-year period of time. So over the past 2 years, then I began to just normalize the behaviors. And then it never, ever occurred to me that what she was doing was a crime. It was just, you know, a habit that he had, and it was just something that happened. And it was just something that I was just like, okay, well, this is just where we're at. And so then I began to hit that roadblock and that wall of I'm a victim of this crime. And whenever people look at me and I say that I'm a victim, people can't believe it because they're like, well, you don't cry. You're not emotional. You don't get upset about this. And it happened so unfortunate that because of all of the different time that had been spent in this situation, I had become so numb. And so there's just been a lot of different transitions over specifically the past 4 weeks that I've been going through as a result of reporting the crime and experiencing the process of a PFA and how the Pittsburgh police had failed me when they lost the PFA and going in front of judges and having to tell male judges and male officers again and again and again the different ways that this person had assaulted me. I mean, it has really opened my eyes to the reality of what women specifically have to go through whenever they are assaulted. Because it doesn't matter if it's a sexual assault, if it's domestic violence. I now have seen that either you suffer in silence by not saying anything at all, and you know that this horrific thing has happened to you, or you suffer by coming forward. So now you have to deal with the different systems that are in place that aren't working as well as they should for survivors and victims. You have people that may not believe you. You have systems that, you know, with my particular situation, the person still hasn't even been interviewed. And so this has definitely been a very trying situation for me to be able to not only admit and face the fact that I had been assaulted as a strong single mother and woman in the community where I'm trying to help other people, but then to manage all the other parts of dealing with the legal system and dealing with child support and dealing with PFAs and dealing with custody. And I mean, there's just so many moving parts that a woman has to go through. And so, you know, I guess this kind of just gave my story just a different twist and turn to it because prior it was all of the other things that I had shared about forgiveness and learning how to extend grace. But then when you add a trauma on top of things, it really, really changes your mind as to how you see things and how you take things in. You know, even if you have a car accident, when you have a car accident, happen to you while you're driving never affects you the same. So you have an accident and someone, they come out too far whenever they're stopping at a stop sign, but now that brings you anxiety, whereas prior before you never had that same anxiety because now you've had that trauma and you've had that experience. So as a result of my situation, it has definitely opened up my eyes and it has given me a whole different respect and a whole different insight for women that are unfortunately victims of any type of assault or violence because it just completely and totally changes us to the core of who we are.
You know, while you were sharing your story, one of the things that I heard is that you were negotiating with yourself to either make it okay or make it not okay. Where, mm-hmm. what, can you remember what instance where the negotiations began to favor on your side? Like, what was the tipping point? Because I do think that as survivors of different types of abuse, we kind of make it not necessarily okay, but we make it to a point where we can make it to a point where, okay, we've survived this, so we don't have to go back to it. We don't have to touch it. We can just move on from it. But instead of just moving on, you decided to address it. And I think there's so many times where we don't negotiate on behalf of ourselves to address that point. And, you know, if you don't address the pain, how can you heal from it?
Mm-hmm.
And so mm-hmm. what was your tipping point that said, I'm going to address it.
You know, for me, the tipping point was the reality that I'm already in a position where I've started a nonprofit organization, which is a peer-to-peer mentoring program for women. I'm a published author. I'm a public speaker. These different positions that I was already existing in before this incident happened already kind of put me in a place of accountability where if I didn't address my own stuff, be flat out a fraud to any woman that I was dealing with moving forward that was dealing with a similar situation if I didn't get rid of or if I didn't deal with my own stuff. And so I knew that there was a lot of hurt that I wasn't able to feel because I had just become so numb. And so instead of me choosing that I was going to just bury it and not deal with it, I chose that I wanted to because, and I think that I probably mentioned something like this on the prior two episodes that I was on. One of my favorite rappers, his name is Andy Mineo. He's a Christian rapper. And in one of his songs, the song is called Family Photo. In that song, he says, when you bury your emotions, you bury them alive, and they always come back stronger somewhere later in your life. And so for me, and this is a recent song that just came out in the past year, and so for me, I thought back to those lyrics, and I thought back to the reality that if I truly don't deal with this now, this is going to be something that not only is it going to come back later in life and it's going to haunt me somewhere down the road and I'm going to wish that I had dealt with it, but it's the reality that I would seriously be looking at other women who I said that I wanted to encourage to be able to heal and grow from their situations, but I wasn't telling them the whole truth. I was encouraging them to do it because I knew that it needed to be done, but I hadn't gone through that process to be able to truly and genuinely give them the support that they needed to say, I've gone through this process and I've made it and so can you. So I think just the realization that knowing that I really wanted to help people, and that's my heart's goal, is just to be able to help other women to come to a place of healing and growth. And just knowing that if I don't address my own stuff, there's no way that I can be true to who I am and help other people if I don't do it first.
Okay. And you know what, Kimberly, I want to ask you, for women who have maybe been molested as children and at this point in their lives, maybe they have a good job, they have a good husband, they're raising kids, and they think that everything is fine. Maybe they never had any type of closure to what happened to them, but they think that they're beyond it and they're past it. What would you say to that type of woman?
I would say the same thing, that oftentimes we think we're okay. And outside of this assault that I had experienced prior with my oldest son, I thought that I was okay, and I thought that there were different things that weren't affecting me over the years as I was raising him. He is currently 11 years old. And so when I was raising him over the years, I started to see how I thought I was completely fine. I thought that there were things that didn't need to be addressed. But then I started to see how I was recycling things down to him. And so I still, today, I consider myself to be a great mother, and I know that I'm doing the absolute best that I can with what I've been given over the years and throughout my life. But at the same exact time, I was able to catch and see the reality that there were different things that my mom didn't necessarily do to me. So I was trying to figure out, like, where did this come from? Like, why am I yelling and why am I being so nasty and why am I putting him down? And these weren't things that my mom ever did to me. But then I had to realize that it had everything to do with things that were unresolved in my own life, from rejection, abandonment, different hurts that had happened. And so I would say to someone who thinks that they're okay, that is what we think. We really think that we're okay, but if we don't actually address that thing, then there's really no way for us to truly be okay, because then it just stays hidden, and then there are more assaults that happen to us over the years that continue to compile and it continue to just dump on that hurt and that thing that has happened to us. And then one day it's going to become that real big lump in the middle of the rug that we're going to just trip over. And so I would definitely suggest that it's going to be hard and it's going to be very scary, because when I prayed a couple weeks ago, I was sitting in church, and while I was in the middle of worship, I prayed and I said, God, I know that I'm numb. Please allow me to open up and feel these different things that I've been so numb to. And I had absolutely no idea what I was asking for, because it has been like a tsunami that has come. And so I would definitely caution that if you're going to do that and ask God to begin to open up those feelings for them to be resolved, that you have people around you, you have a support system that is able to help and have your back through that time. But I would definitely suggest to be able to address it. And even if it's something that you just have to talk to somebody about, you just have to write about it, whatever it is, getting it out is so much better than allowing that nastiness and that hurt and that pain to stay inside of us.
You know, you said something that is truly key that I hope everybody else was able to catch and hear too, was that you, not necessarily knowing what the issue was or where the symptoms came from, you started asking yourself, why am I responding this way, or why am I acting this way? And that was able to take you back to that there was some issues that needed to be addressed. And so I'm just pointing that out because I don't know if anybody else specifically heard that. But women, if we're going through, if we're wondering why we feel like we have it together or think that we have it together, but maybe yet we're still bitter, or there's just some, I'm going to say, crust around our heart, you have to begin to ask yourself why and do like Ms. Kim did and say, Lord, what is there? Why am I feeling this way? And allow God to expose that for you. Amen?
Amen. Mm-hmm. What I like is the fact that in order to do that, and not knowing, like, you know, like you were saying, Kimberly, not really knowing or knowing what to expect, I like the fact that you had gotten to a place that you just, you needed to grow, you know, and I felt that before, though maybe my story is not the exact same as yours, but I've asked that question, and I've asked it more recently, and I've asked it over the years, but more recently I've asked that question. Lord, why do I respond a certain way to certain things? Why am I doing that? Lord, show me that. And you got to be ready, because when we ask God, you know, for things like that, and he begins to show us, if we're not careful and we don't prepare ourselves, it's hard to prepare for what you don't know. But when I mean prepare myself, meaning just be prepared for whatever it is that God's going to show me. Because when he starts showing you that stuff, If you really are not prepared, it could take you into, it could have just the total opposite. I mean, it could take you into some, like you said, deep depression. And people don't think that believers deal with depression. People don't think that people, believers have suicidal thoughts. People don't think that believers cannot go ham. You know, they just don't think that. And I think it's a false perception that the enemy gives people to make them think that, oh, you're not supposed to do that, you're a Christian, or, oh, you're not supposed to feel like that, you're a Christian. But then when we think about even, when we think about the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, right before, there were some serious emotions that were going on during that time, even with Jesus. You know, he was going through some emotions. There was tears, there was crying, there was great, there was great pain. He did not, the flesh part of him did not want to go forward with that. And so if he had those kind of challenges, if he had that, I would probably even be close to saying that he probably was in a depressed state. You know, why, if he went through that, then why wouldn't we think we would? So, again, saying when we ask God to begin to rebuild things, one of my things is I go through these phases where I say, God, shake my tree. And what that means for me is start removing people, places, and things out of my life that do not line up according to his purpose in my life. And I take the time I pray that prayer, he start moving people out of my life. I mean, it never fails. It never fails.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. When you were saying that, it reminded me, you know, just a couple of days ago, I was sitting in the car and I was watching, like, there were some things that God was pointing out in my attitude, and he reminded me that I had prayed about different issues with my heart. And I just had to laugh, and I was like, Lord, I was not ready, you know, to start facing these different things that are going on with my attitude. So, you know, it's definite. It's so true that sometimes we think that we might be ready, and even if you find that you're not ready, just pray that God helps you with the part that he gives you special strength with the part that's not ready.
Mm-hmm.
And give the part, and you make sure that you give the part that's ready over to God, so that you're not holding on completely to these issues that you're not ready to experience, or these pains that you're not ready to go through. Amen. And you know, Kim, I know some of the listeners on this show, probably because this is woman to woman and processing the pain is so different, they probably didn't get an opportunity to hear your previous show, and because of that, I just want them to know again, you know, what led you to write the two books first and foremost, and then I want to open up our discussion to the listening audience. And so, listening audience, if you guys have any questions or any comments, you can dial 1 on your dial pad and dial the number 1 on your dial pad, and that'll let our team know that you have a question or comment, and they can bring you live into the studio to join us and share. And then when you're done asking your question, dial 1 again on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you're done, and then they'll take you back into the listening audience. Amen? But while we're waiting for our listeners, Kim, can you just give, you know, just a quick snippet of how you came to write your first two books and start your foundation?
Sure. So the first book is called Perfectly Imperfect, and that is my story of forgiveness. So I was transitioning from one church that I had been a member of for about 8 years into another ministry, and it was prophetically told to me that I needed to leave that church or I wasn't going to grow. And so once I made that decision in a church that I've been at now for about 7 or 8 years, I just began to question, you know, being in one of those places, questioning God, why did these things happen to me? And I believe that I was led to write this book in explaining just my life and the different things that had happened over the years and how I learned how to forgive people through those situations and circumstances. And so that book was published in 2014. And in 2016, I had finished my second book. At the time, it was called The Forsaken Art of Purity. And it was called that because around that time I was about 9 years celibate after I had my first son. And so I had gone to Italy with my son. We came back. I finished the book. And then I became pregnant with my second son, Elijah, who's now 16 months old. And so that experience of becoming pregnant after being celibate for 9 years and just the realization that a lot of times we look at people's situations and we see that tip of the ice and we begin to judge people off of that, but not realizing that there's so much more context than what we can see. And so at that time, I believe that I had what I call an encounter with grace. And God was just really able to show me my own errors and how I had judged people and had been just dealing with people really in a harsh manner over the years. And I thought I was doing it in a way that was pleasing God, and I thought I was doing it for God, but really it was the potential that I had to turn a lot of people away from Christ because I didn't understand their situations. And realistically, I also didn't take the time to understand their situations and what had led them to be in whatever product that I had seen at that time. So that was the second book, An Encounter with Grace. And then after that, I had decided to start my nonprofit, which is called Beauty in Brokenness, just because of the realization that especially as women, and I can speak to that because I am a woman, just the reality that there's a lot of things that we go through as women, and in general as human beings, there's just a lot of things that we go through, and it causes us to be a little bit more broken each and every single time that we're traumatized or we're hurt or we go through this pain. And I wanted people to be able to see that there was truly beauty in their brokenness, that they didn't have to sit in those broken situations and they didn't have to sit in those circumstances and kind of feel down and out and kind of feel like there was no point in it, there was no use. So just trying to get people to see that there's beauty in their brokenness and beauty beyond their brokenness as well. And so from the two books that I had written, I created a workbook that kind of just works. It walks people through what I call real life issues. So just encouraging people to address real life issues so that we can come to a place of healing and growth so that that nastiness isn't recycled down generationally to our children, and just so that we can have more healthier and whole children that are going to be raised up to lead our future. So that's the basis of all the work that I've done in the past 4 years.
Oh, amen. Amen.
Amen.
You know, and,
yeah.
Go ahead, Coach T.
No, I was getting ready. Go ahead, if you had something to say, I was going to ask the question. You have two books out. How can, if someone wants to get your book, how can they get your books? Can you give us that information?
Yes, they can go to either Amazon or they can go to my website, which is beautybeyondbrokenness.com, and either website or Amazon, they can find both of those books.
Amen. That's awesome. So beautybeyondbrokenness.com or amazon.com to find those books. And Kimberly, can you give us the titles of those books once again? I just want to make sure that people have the information so they choose to purchase your books, they'll know exactly how to purchase them.
Sure. The first one is called Perfectly Imperfect, and that is my story of forgiveness. And then the second one is An Encounter with Grace.
Great, great. Awesome. Again, we would like to ask our studio audience, if you have any questions or comments for our guests in regards to tonight's show, please dial 1 on your dial pad that'll let our team know that you have a question or comment. Again, you could dial 1 on your dial pad and that'll let our team know. This has really been, I mean, it's not new for me, but the information has really been great. And I'm really glad that you're transparent, and thank you for wanting to share your story. And I know there's many layers, and we are celebrating for October Domestic Violence Awareness Month. We're making people aware of domestic violence, and we're hoping to bring hope to those who are hopeless because they have had to endure domestic violence on one level or another. I always like to say, because we've been doing this show the whole month of October, this we're in our third week, I always like to say this is because there's a myth. I just lost my word. But basically, people always want to think that it's just women who are mm-hmm. dealing with domestic violence. And I want to make sure that on behalf of MCD Network, we want to make sure that we make our audience aware that domestic violence is not gender-based. There are men also that are suffering from domestic violence. The difference between the two genders is that women are probably a lot more transparent. It's kind of expected that it happens to women as the, quote, weaker vessel, unquote. But and a lot of men that may be going through domestic violence situations won't speak on it. They won't say. They're too embarrassed to say, well, yeah, my girlfriend, every time she gets angry, she's throwing something at me, or she's hitting me, or she's verbally abusing me. So most men, because they have this image you know, this image and this ego. A lot of them won't share the fact that they are going through a domestic violence situation. So I just want to acknowledge that this whole month. I will continue to acknowledge that because under no circumstances do I want people to think that we think that only women go through this. So thank God for the women who are willing to share, and hopefully men will become more outspoken about their experience with it so that they can grow. Because I think you have to be transparent. I think you have to be open about what you're going through in order to heal, in order to begin to forgive, in order to grow. We know that when we've been taught, there's a ministry we came out, at least from my mentor, that intolerable pain causes change. And when you get to a point where the pain is too much, you, changes begin to be made. So, again, for those who are listening in, if you are dealing with any male or female, if you're dealing with any form of domestic violence, verbally, mentally, emotionally, physically, we just pray that you seek help, to get help either in the midst of your situation or out of it. Again, I say that in the midst or out of it because I don't want to tell you leave the situation. I don't want to tell you to leave your marriage. I'm not going to tell you that, but what I'm going to tell you is do what's going to be best for you. And if that means leave, mm-hmm. leave. If that means find some other means of help through counseling or whatever it takes to get help, because generally those situations do not fix themselves. It's like alcoholism. It's like drug abuse. It's like anything. If they don't fix themselves, you have to acknowledge that there's a problem, and then you have to go and seek help. So, again, is there, Kimberly, the last question I would have is there some type of hotline for domestic? Do you know of any hotline for domestic violence that people could actually call a hotline to either speak with someone, or in some situations people are scared to leave because they're scared for their life? Is there a hotline that helps people who are in domestic violence situations get out of them, like maybe a safe house? Do you know of any?
Well, I know that there's definitely a couple in the Pittsburgh area, and I know the national, for sexual assault, there's a national hotline called RAIN, and that number is 1-800-656-HOPE. 4673.
Oh, okay. If you could repeat that again, that's can you repeat that again, please?
Is 1-800-656-4673.
Awesome,
awesome. And there's also the domestic, the National Domestic Violence Hotline as well. And that one is 1-800-799-7233. And again, it's 1-800-799-7233 for the National Domestic Violence Hotline.
Awesome. That's good. And then also crisis text line for those of you. This is another. This is actually a number you could text if you're in a situation you need to speak with someone. And that you would just text 41741. That's within the United States. Again, that's 741741. You could text that number. Someone would respond. It's crisis counselors available that would respond to you, to listen to you, whether you want to text, because sometimes people feel more comfortable, especially with this technology. A lot of times people feel more comfortable texting versus picking up the phone. Again, we have numbers that we've given you, so if you want to call, and then we also have that text, 741-741. But whatever you do, however you do it, seek help. Seek help, you know, to try to figure out how to make your situation better and what's going to be best. Amen. Minister LaDon, did you have anything else that you would like to add?
Kim, if you have anything that, any events that are going on currently or coming up, if you could share that with our listening audience, so that they can connect with what you do have going on. And then, you know, before you leave us, I did want you to share what type of support system you have in place at this moment for yourself that is helping you or that will help see you through to the end of the moment as far as with the court case that you have going on. Just for our listening audience, if they're going through something like this or they plan to go through something like this, they can hear some of the type of support systems that they should or can put in place to help them through.
For participants, I'm actually starting a sexual assault survivors group on Monday in the Pittsburgh area, specifically in the Braddock area. So it's actually going to be it's called Twisting with a Purpose. And so it's going to be a crocheting group that'll mask as the sexual assault survivors group, just so that, you know, just to protect the participants, to make sure that they're not having to go home and say, hey, I'm going to this group that's going to help me hopefully get away from you. So it will be teaching women the art of crocheting, but it'll also serve as an opportunity for them to come and address sexual assault or any different violence that they have experienced. And as far as myself, the support system I have around me, of course, is, you know, a lot of family, friends, my church has been a great support. But more on a professional level, specifically in the Pittsburgh area, there is an organization called PAR, which stands for Pittsburgh Action Against Rape. And so for myself, honestly, initially when I started going through all of this, I just thought that I didn't need the help and I could do it on my own and that was completely fine. And I think that for me, I've been doing a pretty decent job with advocating for myself. And I'm personally the type of person that I will call you, I'll call your boss, I'll call your boss's boss, and I'll call somebody in order to get an answer. But that's not necessarily everybody, and no, not everybody always has that knowledge to be able to do those things. And so having an organization like PAR behind me, they also email the detective whenever, even though I email the detective, they'll email the detective as well to follow up and see what's going on. I also had my attorney, I forget the name of his organization, but he's the husband of a friend of mine, and his law firm, they assist pro bono with doing work for PFAs. And so I went with him specifically because there is also in Pittsburgh the Neighborhood Legal Services. And so if a woman or a man, anyone happens to go through the court system for a PFA, they do assign free attorneys through the Neighborhood Legal Services. But I specifically went with this other attorney more because, like I said, he was the husband of a friend, and he had also met my children. And so for me, that just comforted me a little bit more to know that this was a person that was fighting for children that he knew and he had seen and he had spent some time with. And so I would definitely suggest that individuals who are dealing with these different assaults, that they would just look into the different organizations that are in their local areas, because as much as we think that we're strong and we can handle it on our own, I can definitely say that, like I said, having to go to the hospital and go through that process of getting the full body exam and then going through a PFA and having to go to court and try to argue for my son's safety and all of the different things. Even just the fact that for my own assault, this is actually like a very fresh situation. And the assault actually happened on September 15th. To date, the person who did it still has not been interviewed. And so these are different things that PAR has been emailing the detectives every single day to try to figure out what's going on. When is he going to be interviewed? And even though I'm doing these same things at the same time as PAR is, it's definitely much more reassuring to know that it's not just me that's putting more pressure on these different systems that are in place to resolve these issues. So I know specifically, like I said, in the Pittsburgh area, it's been PAR, and there's been the Women's Shelter has been very helpful. The Neighborhood Legal Services has been very helpful. But that's, like I said, specifically and highly suggest that if this is something that a person has to go through, to look into whatever is available in their local area, because this is absolutely not something that we should go through alone. And by all means, it doesn't matter how strong we are or we think that we are, this is something that we just can't do by ourselves. It's just, this is too heavy for one person to take on by themselves.
Yeah. Oh, wow, yeah. Well, goodness, I tell you, this has really just been great. This show has been amazing. I thank you so much, Kim, for coming and sharing. We are coming towards the end of the show, and you know we could go on forever and ever and ever, but I thank God for you. I thank God that you have had an opportunity. This is your third time on the MCD Network, and we always have a seat for you to come and share what is going on or what you're doing, any events and things that may be coming up. Please always let us know so we can make sure that we let our listening audience know of things that you have coming up. If you are listening in and you are in the – and Kimberly, that's in the – you're in the – I know you're in Philadelphia, but what part?
Pennsylvania.
Okay. I said Philadelphia, Lord, Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh. If you are in the Pittsburgh area and you are listening in, feel free to look Kimberly up, go on to the website. Kimberly, is there other means? Do you have social media means for people to reach out to you as well, other than just your website?
Mm-hmm. So I'm also on Facebook as Beauty and Brokenness LLC. And so, if there's people that are in other areas that want to get information on the support group and things like that, we can also try to go live for those people as well if that's more comfortable for people. So all they have to do is look up our Facebook page, which is Beauty and Brokenness LLC.
Amen. Thank you for that information. Minister LaDon, did you want to take us out?
Thank you so much. And again, we want to thank you, Kimberly, for joining us this evening and blessing our listening audience. We want to thank our listening audience for joining us each and every week. We hope that you continue along with this series that we have on domestic abuse and domestic violence. Please, please, please share the this program, share this series. We all know somebody whose life has been touched by domestic violence. I know just last week we were sharing on the show that sometimes the young youth in the home that are witnessing domestic violence, they go on to either commit the acts themselves or go through it themselves. And so I'm sharing that to say that we all know somebody whose life has been touched. And just like Kimberly said, we may think that there's just scars that remain, but unless you've been healed from that, it's more than scars, and it's going to stem its ugly head at some point in some time in your life. So please share this program so that people can learn different types of help that's out there for them and just start the healing process. We hope that you have enjoyed tonight's show, that there was something that has been said that has really blessed you and something that you can share to bless someone else. We hope that you guys will join us on Thursday as Coach D continues with her show, Processing the Pain, where she teaches people how to process the pain that they've encountered through their life challenges. And so we hope that you'll join us again next Wednesday and, of course, next Thursday. We thank you for your time and allowing us to enter your homes and into your lives. Thank you for joining us and being here with us on Woman to Woman. Amen.
Amen.
Song of a life we sing.
songs of love and songs of joy, songs of light we bring.
Here we go.
Sing it again. Kayla, sing it down low for him.
Woman to woman.